The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts.
Welcome to another podcast of Terror, a production of Galactic Netcasts. This is a show where we talk about things that are scary and we find interesting. My name is Matt Stein. As always, with me is Corey. Corey, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How have you been this week?
Pretty good. It's like 55 degrees right now. It's pouring. It's been raining all day. My dog doesn't like thunderstorms either, so I've been up since 4 a.m. So it's really, really, really fucking cool.
It is about the same here. It's kind of funny that you live in the Wisconsin-ish area.
Yeah, I live, for anyone that knows, it's like 20 minutes south of Green Bay, which is central-ish Wisconsin.
Yeah, and I live in Northern California, about an hour north of San Francisco, and we have the same weather. So why am I paying so much of my goddamn mortgage?
Because America.
Yeah.
I don't know. Right now, you know, generally it'd be like 20 degrees here on a normal year, but fucking El Nino.
Yeah.
So
we need some of that shit, so thank you.
Yeah, we need fucking El Nino. Before we get into the week's news, some fun things that we're going to do here real quick. First of all, we got some awesome feedback from Lucy from Nottingham, which kind of blew us both off our fucking wheels because, A...
Wait a phrase. Yeah.
I didn't know anyone listened to this show, let alone people in different countries, besides Daryl.
Right.
So
and Daryl's kind of a gimme.
Yeah. So A, thank you very much, Lucy. We're going to be doing It Follows, recommended by her, come early January. So we're going to finish out December with Christmas movies, and then the first movie of January will be Reanimator with Matt Vincent, who's coming back. I'm pretty excited for that. Complete with beer. So we'll have beer, the Reanimator beer, to go with the movie.
This is a good point to all you microbreweries out there or anybody who makes a beer. Just name it after some classic horror movie, and Matt will drink it on the air.
Yeah.
And hopefully get Matt Vincent to drink it as well. Mm. And then we'll talk about the movie, and you'll get a free plug.
Yeah, right.
From people who probably aren't worth shit. But hey, we got fan mail this week, so rock it.
That's true, yeah. Moving on up. So going back, speaking of Daryl, he left me an interesting voicemail in reference to last week's episode where we kind of challenged to see if he actually listened to it. So here it goes.
But of course I listen, Matt. Why would you think I wouldn't? I mean, I'm basically a massive creeper. I'm looking at you, Matt. I'm looking at you, Matt. To answer your question, creepy dolls in London. Truthfully, not many people would give a flying fuck about that. Why? Well, it's London, dude. People simply do not give a shit. Not one single solitary shit. They are so ignorant, they make you look like Prince Charming. What would I do? I'd probably take a photo with them. Selfie time! Anyway, toodle pips. Bye.
So that happened.
I gotta be honest, it stopped playing after he said truthfully, when he started talking about creepy dolls.
He ends with the word toodle pips. I hope it was only your audio. I'll have to go back and listen to it. So for anyone watching, hopefully you heard it. If not, it'll be in the recording. And if it isn't in the recording, you're just hearing me rant about how it's potentially not in the recording, but it really is in the recording.
I like how he subtly got you involved into listening to, if not watching, Doctor Who by using TARDIS sounds in the background.
Fuck you, Daryl. Fuck you and your British fucking mouth. Yeah, enough about Daryl. One more special thing that, pretty cool thing happened this week. Corey, do you travel at all, ever? Do you
get out of California? A little bit here and there.
Have you ever been to Minneapolis?
No. Actually, I think that's where the base for one of the companies I used to work for was at, and I kept thinking I was going to go someday.
Oh. Well, have you ever wanted one of those I Love Minnesota shirts but thought you'd look like a giant pussy?
I always look like a giant pussy, so
you're
it doesn't matter what shirt I'm wearing.
You're fucking ruining all this. But anyways, if you're afraid to wear an I Love Minnesota shirt because you're going to look like a pussy, I have a solution for you. We now have a sponsor for the show. Statosphere Media wants you to show off your love of the Twin Cities, and look, Fly's fuck doing it. So you can head on over to Statosphere Merch. I'll have the link in the show notes, but it's statusfeermerch.com. Use the coupon code TERROR for 15% off anything. I love their clothes. I have a lot of sweatshirts. My wife has them, t-shirts. They also sell the Reaping Asmodeus CD and t-shirts. If you like the intro and outro music, you can pick up their CD. Also, another band, Hope Country. It's a country band. And there's a bunch of stuff. The owner's a really good friend of mine. So any bands he works with, you can go buy their merch, and you get 15% off with the coupon code TERROR. So go on over there and hopefully, you know, make them not regret the decision to sponsor our show.
That is freaking awesome. Thank you for not leading me through that at all, so I look like a dick.
Yeah. So I didn't tell Corey about that happened until now. He didn't really want to know about it, apparently, so I surprised him like I surprised everyone else who's listening to the show right now. Toodle pips.
Just like anal in the morning. You just weren't expecting it.
Let's do the news. First up, have you ever seen the Machete movies?
I have seen the Machete movies. I actually just reviewed the second Machete not too long ago on What Else Is On. I can't say that they're my favorite movies, but they're interesting in the schlock films that they're trying to be. I can't tell if they're just not schlocky enough for me. If it almost seems like they're still trying to be too cool. But there's an element to them that I enjoy.
I just like the over-the-top aspect to them where everyone gets murdered and blood shoots everywhere. But, for anyone who's seen Machete, what is it, Machete Kills is the second one?
Yes, Machete Kills was the second. Yep. And in the second movie, at the very beginning, they do a trailer for the third movie, which didn't exist.
Until now. So Machete Kills Again, in space is going to become a movie, which I don't know how I feel about that. It'll probably be really fucking cool just because
Robert Rodriguez.
I was just going to say a bunch of names. But Danny Trejo, I think he's a fucking badass. Everything he does is just badass. But
he's certainly entertaining. I mean, he's built up his shtick and he's run with it. And I think that there's something to be said for that. I actually worked with his ex-wife. I say his ex-wife, not sure how many ex-wives he's had, if she was the only one or not.
About a baker's dozen, I bet.
Yeah, maybe. But she had ex-wife's things to say about him. But she never talked so much smack that she was like, oh, don't enjoy his movies or anything. So I'm sure that it's just, that's, you get a different level of somebody when you're in a relationship with them. But I think that everything I've seen him in, he's been pretty fun.
Yeah, I enjoy him. I enjoyed the first two enough to see the third one when it inevitably ends up on Netflix.
Yes, and that's how I'll see it too. I don't know that Robert Rodriguez movies are ones that I go to see in the theater, although I did see From Dusk Till Dawn in the theater when it came out.
Yeah.
I think it was just a different level of film. I think it was probably a combination of him and Quentin and the star power involved. It was just a really fun movie. And I'd like to see more of that.
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't say a whole lot about when it's supposed to come out, just that they're going to do it. So that's cool. Next up, if you like The Human Centipede 2 enough to spend $2,500 on the scrapbook from the movie, you can actually go do that. It's signed by director Tom Six. 16 plus one loose page made by Lawrence Harvey himself for the film.
Yeah, so he actually made it, I guess, for his character in the movie.
Yeah.
And is selling it. And that's why it's torn, is because it was torn in the film. $2,500 for a piece of memorabilia. Not bad, other than the fact that it's from The Human Centipede 2. Although I like at the bottom of the page, they say it's not even close to being the most revolting thing you can own from the Human Centipede films. So I click that link and I look down, and by the time we get to number 2 of all things, it is the original latex ball sack of prisoner 297 used for the castration scene in The Human Centipede number 3. For $1,500, you could own some balls, which is a good thing that we have a sponsor now, because I would like to get those for Matt.
Have you seen the third Human Centipede?
No.
Okay, so
I've not sat through any of the Human Centipedes.
Oh, okay. I've,
if you make me watch them for this show, revolt.
I watched the third one and just thought, like, I watched it with a friend, and halfway through we kind of were just like, why are we still watching this movie? But the ball sack is a prisoner pisses off the warden, so the warden cuts out his balls and then eats them. And he's like, this is probably my favorite part of the movie, because he like is served testicles in like a steaming platter, and they pull the top off, and he just goes, power food.
Oh, God.
It's fucking ridiculous. And like less than 5 minutes into the movie, there is a very, very gratuitous finger banging scene.
Gratuitous in a Human Centipede movie?
It made me uncomfortable even in being in a Human Centipede movie, because it was just, I don't know, there's just something so dirty about it. And,
I didn't even describe the number one, which is the down-to-the-wire latex penis wrapped up in barbed wire for some reason. So all surprises are lost on me when it comes to this film or this film series.
I don't remember the barbed wire part. I just remember being really annoyed that like every movie takes place inside of like a different universe. Like the first movie exists, and then in the second one, the fat guy who makes the scrapbook is obsessed with the first one, and that's why he makes his own Human Centipede. And in the third one, the warden's butt buddy in the jail is obsessed with the second movie, which is why they make the giant Human Centipede. So it's like, okay, they're not sequels, they're ultra fans of the movies are making more Human Centipedes.
So it's like the Blair Witch sequel, The Book of Shadows, that was about a bunch of fans of the Blair Witch movie.
Yes. I forgot that that's how that movie went.
Yeah, a lot of people forgot that there was that movie.
I didn't forget that one existed, but I just existed. I forgot that it existed within its own universe, if that makes sense.
This is just another one of those things where my wife is cooler than me, because she has seen at least the first Human Centipede and been able to watch it. And also watch Two Girls, One Cup, which I was not. I had no interest in seeing it, but I made the mistake of mentioning it to her. And then, of course, she has to go online to find out what it's about. And I think it broke my wife a little bit.
Yeah, I remember seeing about 10 seconds of it, and that was enough for me.
We were trying to trick a friend at work of looking that up on his phone, that and Lemon Party.
Lemon Party.
Hey, let's skip over some of these parties and get to one of our own, where we direct you to GalacticNetcast.com, and you can join up with the Galactic Directive, and maybe look us up on iTunes and Stitcher and give us a review there. We did just recently get our first review on iTunes, and I found out after that you can actually review things on Stitcher. I've been saying that you just give thumbs up or thumbs down this whole time. I'm a dork. So you can, but I think it might only be on the site. The other thing you can do is you can leave us an email. We have been pitching that you can email us at galacticnetcast@gmail.com, and you still can. But we got our first email from the site this week, and it put us into a blind panic of like, oh, why don't we just have our own email? So now we do. So you can email us at podcastofterror@gmail.com, or leave us a voice message by calling 805-328-3966. We're not getting our own phone number. We're not that classy.
I don't even know how to set that up. Dave set that up a long time ago. That's that. Thanks, Dave.
Dave cares.
Dave, you know, for as much shit as I give Dave, he worked really hard to get all this shit set up, so I tip my hat to him, and it's because of Dave that we can do this and be the 18th week in a row worst rated podcast. I started to lose my train of thought. The most grotesque podcast on the Galactic Netcast, most filthy, whatever they want to call it.
Yeah, the dirtiest. But not so dirty that Dave isn't still making pitches. I listened to the last Weird World Weekly, where you guys talked about doing a crossover episode between the two shows.
Yes.
Which I know you had mentioned to me, but just hearing it on the air made it even more solid. And I'm really excited to do that, so we'll have to lay that out for the beginning of the new year.
Yeah. Dave, get on that.
Yeah, Dave, more for you.
we talked about it, and I don't talk to Dave as much as I used to, since we do like 3 or 4 Weird World Weeklies at a time. But once the holidays and stuff are over, I'm sure we'll figure it out. But we got to get through the busy season. Which is weird that it's 60 degrees outside and Christmas is less than 2 weeks away and there's no snow.
Yeah.
I digress.
Speaking of the Christmas spirit, let's talk about this week's movie, which is Santa's Sleigh.
Starring fucking Goldberg.
You keep saying it like that. I don't know what that means.
The wrestler. He was a pro wrestler.
I keep assuming it's Whoopi.
No. Bill Goldberg.
That would be way sexier, though.
Yeah.
Whoopi Goldberg is a muscled-up Santa killing everybody.
Just yelling sister act lines the whole time.
Yes.
No, Bill Goldberg was a wrestler, started in WCW. I had a conversation with a buddy of mine earlier this week about it. I think he went like 128-0 before losing his first match, and then like WWF at the time made a wrestler called Goldberg who was supposed to make fun of him. But and when you saw this movie, there was a point at which Santa looks at the camera and says, "Who's next?" Do you remember that?
Yes.
That was Goldberg's like wrestling tagline was, "Who's next?"
Yeah, they didn't really shy away from breaking the fourth wall on this
movie. Which is fine, and I think that's why I liked it so much. Another thing that I really wanted was his wrestling move was the spear, and he spears the guy through the cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, this is exactly what I wanted this movie to be. I didn't want it to be serious. And
oh Lord, it is not.
No, not at all. But it was great. I like this movie a lot. And I've been wanting to watch this movie for a really long time, so I'm glad we did it.
I think it helps if you know going in what this movie actually is. And they don't treat you with light gloves. As soon as it starts up, you get a scene that has no bearing really on the rest of the film.
Mm-mm.
Where it introduces a bunch of named actors and actresses. Maybe not great names. You've got Chris Kattan.
At the time...
Yeah, Chris Kattan, Fran Dresser, Rebecca Gayhart, who you'd recognize from the Noxzema commercials, but also from Urban Legend film?
Yes.
Even came back for a cameo in the second one. Fran Dresser, of course, is the nanny. Chris Kattan from Saturday Night Live and A Night of the Roxbury. James Caan, who did this movie and did Elf around the same time.
Yes.
This was 2005. That scene starts out with Goldberg's Santa coming in through the chimney and just destroying this family.
Mm-hmm.
And it does paint you, it gives you some background knowledge because one of the people, Rebecca Gayhart's character, was actually the only good person in the family, from what we could tell from appearances in this scene. And she even says, "But I've been good," and he kills her anyway. So this Santa is indiscriminate about whether you've been naughty or nice. It's strictly kill everybody.
Yeah, which later in the movie, I mean, they explain the whole backstory of how Santa is really Satan's child, and he lost a bet and had to be good for 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is up.
He lost a bet curling. He lost a bet using curling as the sport to... I mean... That was an amazing moment for me, is that they go into the scene and they use the classic animation style of the Rankin-Bass Christmas specials, like Frosty the Snowman and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Santa Claus is Coming to Town, all of those things, to do this scene, and it is a curling competition. I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, and naturally there's a second curling competition at the end of the movie. I shouldn't say it's not a competition, but all I care about is that Goldberg is driving the Zamboni to murder children, and then the angel of his grandpa comes back and chucks a curling stone and stops the Zamboni like just before he's going to kill him. I lost it laughing.
All of this, I mean, really, the people in this, we haven't mentioned some of the other stars. Douglas Smith, who is from HBO's Big Love series. And Emily DeRaven, who I used to watch on Roswell and Lost, and now apparently she's on Once Upon a Time. And Robert Culp, who was from I Spy, but even more dear to my heart, he was the FBI agent on The Greatest American Hero. He plays the grandfather in this. Fantastic people, including Dave Thomas, not the founder of Wendy's, the guy from SCTV and the... What were the... Bob and Dave?
You're asking the wrong person.
Oh my God, I'm blanking on the McKenzie brothers. Wow, you definitely watch Strange Brew at some point. And watched Bob and Dave McKenzie. So it was Dave Thomas and Rick Moranis, and it is
I saw Strange Brew once a really long time ago. I didn't hate it. I liked like the over-Canadianisms.
Yeah, I think it's a story of your life.
I'm not Canadian.
I think all the beer and sausages and the drunk dog, you would, yeah.
Yeah, my dog. I had to get my dog drunk this morning so he would go back to sleep.
Who doesn't? Also, this whole movie took place in Hell, Michigan. I'm not sure that it was necessarily filmed in Hell, but it was filmed in Michigan. And there was a great song over the ending credits about Christmas in Detroit. And I want that song now.
There was, I feel dumb because I just watched this movie yesterday and I already forgot. So there were some one-liners and stuff that I was just like, yeah, those are fucking great. I've already forgot them. I also got very little sleep and was drinking last night, so we can blame it on that. But it was such a well-done movie.
I mean, it was a well-done dumb movie, but it glorifies the dumbness.
Yeah,
and the one-liners that Matt's talking about are akin to Mr. Freeze in the Batman and Robin film.
Uh-huh.
That level of stupid one-liners, that's what we achieve in this.
Another favorite part of mine, I don't mean to cut you off, but when after Santa murders all the strippers that the pastor's at, that he's not supposed to be at, and he's saying all of their names.
Yes.
And it was like Tess Tickler and what was it, Dixie Normus.
Yep. Yes.
Oh, and he's seeing all the names and like in between them looking around. It was so funny.
I believe that's when Goldberg had called them the ho ho hoes.
Yes. Yes.
This is a movie that you have to know what you're in for when you start. If you're expecting a serious horror movie, no, this is not even close to that. It is one of those just as dumb as it's allowed to be films that has some of the over-the-top kills and everything. It has a hell deer that was played basically by a buffalo that was the whole time my wife thought it was fake. Did not realize that they were using an actual animal in this.
Really?
Yeah, but they did, and it's kind of classic. I can't say that this was my favorite movie, but it's one of those things that I just like, God damn it, this is a movie that had to happen, just like it did. At the end, this was Aaron's favorite part. We're watching the credits roll, and it's got a checklist on the credits for everybody, whether they're naughty or nice. So they got a green X or a red X, and all of the stunt people got red X's. That was the thing that actually got her to laugh the hardest.
Really?
Yes.
Of all the things that happened in the movie, I feel like
I don't know that this was her kind of movie. It was a little too dumb. And again, I don't think she was prepared for how dumb this was going to be. You know, you hear Santa Slay and you think, okay, this is a level of stupid, but we thought it was going to be closer to a Black Christmas level of stupid, just like trying to be a serious horror movie, but so stupid that it's kind of funny.
See, I didn't realize that you did not know that Bill Goldberg, the wrestler, was in this movie.
Well, I don't know.
And that's the other thing. Like, I didn't know that you were, you know, get your shit together and look him up.
Steve Austin has done some pretty drastic movies that were, while not masterpieces, were serious and or meant to be serious and were pretty violent that weren't really listed as comedies. So,
but I'm trying to think. I mean, Stone Cold Steve Austin was way more in like my heyday of watching wrestling. Goldberg was a little earlier than that, so I don't really recall. But I mean, Goldberg was a badass, as was Stone Cold Steve Austin. But I just feel like Stone Cold is more of a badass. I don't know. Goldberg did a bunch of movies. He was in a Universal Soldier. He was in the Ready to Rumble, the wrestling movie. He was in the Longest Yard, the remake with Adam Sandler. Couple movies I've never heard of, and really that's about it. And Santa Slay. Whereas I gotta look up Stone Cold Steve Austin, but he did a lot more. Was he in the Expendables at all?
Oh gosh, I don't know. It doesn't seem like it would be unusual for him to be in one of them at least.
No, but and he's still to this day still pretty relevant. He had a TV show for a while. Let's see here. He was in The Longest Yard as well. He was one of the cops. He was in The Condemned. He was in the first Expendables. He was in he was in Grown Ups 2, which was actually pretty funny. And then he did a bunch of direct-to-video movies. He's also
Yeah, I mean, it seems like a lot of wrestlers get to that point where they start doing these.
Well, they kind of have to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To keep making a paycheck, you know, you kind of have to. You're going to fuck yourself up jumping off of shit and landing on your back all of your life. But
yeah, unless you go the Owen Hart route. So, yeah, it's good that... Did I just freak you out?
No, not at all. I remember that vividly. I think I was watching
I was reading a story about it earlier in the week about the family is, like, still... Pretty much, we're turning into a wrestling show, and I have no background to talk about this. I watched wrestling in the 80s, so I mean, to me, it's going back to Roddy Piper, and They Live is my mecca of wrestling to film transition.
We should probably do that movie. That's a good movie.
That is a great goddamn movie, and yes, we should do it.
Okay.
I think we already know what our ratings are going to be, probably. But hey, so this wasn't a bad movie. Like I said, it just... Know what it is going in, and expect to have fun with it. Expect it to be dumb. There was probably my favorite line was from the kid who was pretty awful all the way through this.
Yes.
But he and Nicholas Yulson and the girl that he's working very hard to not date, apparently, Mary Mac McKenzie. He just takes every opportunity to screw up any chance that she's like throwing herself at him. But she gives him this gun as a gift. And he's sitting there and he holds it up and he's looking and he's like, I don't want to act like I'm not grateful or anything, but are you fucking retarded?
And yeah.
It's just the way that he said it was so striking to me. And then it turns out that the gun is actually a transformer because he had been complaining earlier that he wanted a transformer and got an easy bake oven.
So I couldn't remember what she was in, so I had to look it up. She was on Lost. She was Claire on Lost.
She was Claire from Lost.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I mentioned that. Yeah.
If you did, I'm sorry. I was not paying any attention.
That's okay.
What's
funny is that this movie takes... I mean, this movie was 2005. Lost started on the air in 2004. So she was apparently already cast on Lost at the very least, or maybe even filming it by the time that they filmed this. Mm-hmm. And this seems like, okay, I'm on this hit show at ABC, but I'm going to do this really crappy direct-to-video Santa killing movie.
But I feel like either... I feel like this was a situation where, like, oh, my buddy's doing this movie, and he asked me to do it, and because we're friends, I'll do it.
I think she's a genre queen. I think that she's a person who likes being in this kind of weird stuff anyways, because her first listing on her IMDb page is she was a regular character, a villain, on the Beastmaster TV series. She was some demon goddess. So, I mean, and that was when she was probably about 18 or so.
Mm-hmm.
So she's done a lot of stuff that was similar. Roswell, she was on the first couple of seasons of that. That was actually a really good show. And she was very good on it. So it's nice to see her do more stuff and still continue to get work and everything. But this was just an odd choice, I think.
I'm trying to equate it to something else. Maybe... like the This Is the End. It, not the same genre, but like where you have kind of not... this isn't going to work the way I wanted to. This Is the End has like mega stars, whereas this was stars of the time.
I think this is probably a lower quality version of something like Gremlins, where shit is just going on in the town and all the townspeople, half of them are kind of assholes that you want to see get killed anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't really know what's going on. It may be a little bit like a Slither as well, as like just random stuff is happening to different people as things are going on. We know what the story is happening, but nobody else does. So people are just confronting the Santa Claus for no reason. Like one guy goes to rob him and he basically gets beaten to shit and killed and thrown in a trash can out in the open on the street. But it's really kind of random stuff of like, here's a character. Oh, here's some old lady who's a real bitch in the deli.
Yeah.
And here she is getting her car run off the road right afterwards.
Yeah.
For no reason. You know, it's not like he has no discrimination as to who he's killing. It seems like for a minute there, he goes in and he kills all the dudes that are trying to fight him in the strip club. except for the pastor who gets away. But then he starts to walk out, and as an afterthought, he's like, oh, I better light this place on fire because you're all naughty. Little weird on, like, I don't really care about killing all of you, but I'm just going to light the place on fire and see what happens. And apparently that worked.
Yeah,
it didn't seem like it at the moment. And then, hey, you know, you had a strip club scene, so that fills your quota for that.
There was a lot of boobs, and there was, even when the strippers were running, like, there seemed to be a focus on, like, making sure that tits were facing camera.
Yeah, it was, that scene was strictly for the R rating, I think.
Probably. There's a lot of blood, too, but, yeah, I don't know. 5 out of 5 dead hookers.
I have to... I really realized last week that I need to adjust what my rating score is.
Watch your
based off of the dead hookers thing. I don't think that's my thing, so I'm just going to go with Bowyer's. So I will give it a 3.5 Bowyer's.
I don't
love it as much as you did.
This is what I wanted the movie to be all this time that I was trying to watch this, you know, ever since I found out what this movie was and that Goldberg was in it, this is what I wanted the movie to be. So
no, and I think that's exactly right. I think it met your criteria.
Yep.
Exactly. And I don't know that I had a criteria going in, but I may have thought that it was going to be something a little bit more serious, which honestly, this is probably better than that. And, you know, it got the extra half star simply because of Robert Culp.
Yeah. I mean, I see where you're coming from. I just disagree.
No, that's okay.
I think you're dumb.
I probably am.
Nah. No, and that's the whole... That's kind of why I wanted to watch it, because I didn't think you would see it the same way I did.
I gotta admit, I came in and I started watching it, and the whole opening scene, I was like, oh, this is really stupid. And then there was the scene where Nicholas was in the police office, and he's talking about the two cops, and one of them is named Cock, and the other one...
Yes! That's one of the ones I forgot about, the Cock and Bush.
Cock and Bush, and it's Cock as in caulking your bathtub to keep leakage from happening, but he goes in this whole joke about Cock versus Bush with this cop named Dick, and it was just such a dumb scene that really it didn't seem to match up with his character for the rest of the time. There was no reason for him to be doing it, but it just like, here's the stupid joke that we decided to put in, and that was like, really okay. But this was 2005. Maybe that was the expectation of this kind of film, and maybe that is the expectation of this kind of film now, knowing that Adam Sandler just had a new movie come on Netflix this weekend.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of excited to see it, not gonna lie.
Yeah, I am not.
We'll find out. I enjoyed Grown Ups. I kind of liked Grown Ups too, so we'll see.
No, Sandler goes back and forth. He goes to films where I think it's like, okay, this is actually kind of cute. There's something there that I like. I enjoyed the first Grown Ups movie. I haven't really paid too much attention with the second one, but I know that it's probably okay. But then he does things like Little Nicky or Don't Mess with the Zohan. And they're just so revolting to me that I'm like, oh, God, just kill the celluloid this is printed on. And I have a feeling that this one's probably closer to that than it is to Grown-Ups or even a Waterboy, which are ones that I've liked.
Yeah. I know very little about it. I kind of just heard about it like a month ago. I'm not going to disagree with you because there's a very, very good possibility that this movie is going to be absolutely horrendous. But
although I'm prejudging without having seen it, so
that's
fuck
true.
Me for being that guy.
And there's a ton of people in it. Like, there's an obscene amount of people. I got to look it up quick, I guess. Was it The Ridiculous Six?
Yeah. Rob Schneider's definitely in it. I believe Taylor Lautner is in this one as well. I think he's getting the biggest rave reviews for his performance in this movie.
Adam Sandler, Terry Crews, Jorge Garcia, Taylor Lautner, Rob Schneider, Luke Wilson, Dan Aykroyd, Steve Buscemi, Will Forte, Harvey Keitel, Nick Nolte, David Spade, Danny Trejo, Steve Zahn, Whitney Cummings, John Lovitz, Norm Macdonald, Chris Parnell, Blake Shelton, Nick Swartzen, John Turturro, Vanilla Ice, Lavelle Crawford, Dan Patrick, and Lenda Murray. That is the entire cast.
Jeez.
There's like 4 people I've never heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it came out on Netflix 2 days ago, Friday, December 11th.
And it also has all those Native Americans who decided they did not be in it.
There's that. Too bad it's not a horror movie and we can't talk about it, can't review it.
Well, you are invited anytime to show up on what else is on and review it there, because, like I said, probably not for me.
That's very true. That's true. So I think that's about wrap it up. So where can the nice internet people find you?
Well, internet people can find me. It's probably easy if you just go to about.me/CaptainTemerity. That will lead you to all of the places that I would frequent. And if it doesn't, well, I'll have to go edit it after the show, because I don't know the last time I looked at it.
That's funny. I couldn't tell you the last time someone mentioned it at Doubt About Me page. But yeah, if you want to go ahead, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, Matt the Lifeguard. Go ahead, send us an email at podcastofterror@gmail.com. GNcasts, all the white man stuff that Corey talked about before. And once again,
and let it be known, we don't make a secret of it. We like people who like us. That's
true.
We made our week.
Yeah, Corey and I get really excited when people say nice things about us. So we work in tech support, so it's not often. We don't get compliments often.
Actually, people like me. But
people like me too.
I don't mind if you give us lower reviews on iTunes or whatever. That's not the part that really gets me. Just let us know. Let us know that you listen. That's kind of nice.
Yeah, let us know if there's something else you want us to do or a movie you want us to talk about. We're here. We're doing this for you.
And sort of for us, because I got nothing else going on Sundays.
Oh, that makes one of us.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
And your cardboard.
Me and my cardboard. Just thanks again for listening to the Podcast of Terror, and we will catch you next time.
Stay scary, everybody.
You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about the show you just listened to, including how to subscribe and give us feedback, plus additional podcasts from the Galactic Network, daily news features, videos, links to our social networks, and more, go to gncasts.com. That's GNCASTS.com.